everybody. Welcome back to the Great and Terrible AHS. We're here to talk about forbidden fruit. That's right, baby.
Apples. But it's not actually talking about apples, because I would be hyped as shit for that. Instead, we're talking about American Horror Story and the episode Forbidden Fruit, wherein they don't understand how anything works. in a shocking twist, they just fuck everything up from the word go. I'm joined, as always, by Miss Shadow Lovely and Slow Beef. Hey, what's going?
Hi. Yippee. I'm so sorry for this.
Can't just, like, I think you can just drink most venoms and you'll be okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
So let's go ahead and get into it, because we're about to have, if you can hear the anger in my voice, it's because they do something at the end of this episode that legitimately pisses me off and makes me feel like I have been cheated out of multiple hours of my life. So it starts going back to the interviews that Langdon is doing, and they do
the annoying thing where they keep jumping back and forth. You know what I mean? Like, they do it when all the freak show people are telling the backstory demon their story. You know what I mean? Like, where it's just like it's shuffling around, so it's just kind of hard to keep track of for no reason. It's like, it feels like they're rushing it. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, it's supposed to be, like, I've seen other shows do it. I can't think of one specifically off the top of my head, but I've seen it in, like,
Rashomon?
Maybe, like, I know in crime shows it's, like, really, really common where they're doing the, and the thing is, as I was watching this scene, I was like, I'm actually, like, this is, like, the more, like, when you're impressed when you see, like, a toddler, like, throw a ball, like, a foot. Like, not, like, impressive, like, watching, like, a quarterback for the NFL throw a ball.
They do filmmaking techniques here. Yeah, they're doing match cuts between people where it, like, it'll pass over, you know, someone talking to Langdon and you'll see one person's face. And then it'll, like, cut to the back of the chair. And as it pans over, you realize, oh, it's a different person sitting in the chair, that kind of thing.
And his reactions.
Cinematography happens.
Like, his responses and their questions are very, like, kind of nebulous, so, like, it's not clear who he's answering or who he's talking to or who said what, like, whether what he's saying is a response to the person we just saw or the person that we're about to see. Like, it's simultaneously quite frustrating from a narrative perspective, because it's like, okay, well, now I don't know who's giving or receiving this information. So that's a little frustrating. But, like, there is, cinematography happening. And mostly I was just impressed. I was like, damn, I'm surprised American Horror Story was able to do this scene. Like, I don't, like, love it, but, like, I'm just shocked they were able to do it at all. I would have expected something way stupider, like having, like, a fade out, like a Windows Movie Maker, like, rotate effect between each person or something.
Wow, Liz, high praise. I thought it'd be way stupider.
Yeah. I thought they'd do a way worse job. I was like, damn, they had somebody who actually knows how to, like, frame TV shows do this episode. There's a couple shots. There's, like, several shots in this episode where I'm like, I didn't check to see who directed this one, but I was like, damn, like, whoever directed this episode, like, actually gave a shit about the cinematography. Like, there's about to be a scene in, like, 5-10 minutes from now where, like, Mallory is, like, really deep in thought, like, she's having a very stressful moment, and, like, the framing of the scene is really nice, and the way it, like, slow zooms into her with this very, like, uncomfortable, almost fisheye lens felt very, like, almost like Kubrick-y. I don't know. I was just, you can definitely tell when there's an episode in American Horror Story where, like, someone else gets the reins, TM, and gets to, like, direct that doesn't usually get to direct, that, like, a guest director. Sometimes it's the actors.
Someone who has novel ideas.
Yeah.
Perhaps.
Mm-hmm. And doesn't just do shot, reverse shot. Over and over again. Yeah. So, like, basically, it's going to be hard for us to tell you who's actually talking to who, because, like I said, that's impossible to. It's like the conversation equivalent of the ball and cup game, where you put a ball under a cup and then shuffle them a lot. It's really hard to, like, follow.
I hate to be that. Maybe it's just that, like, I don't care is the problem, because it's like, I mean, we're supposed to be invested in who gets off the island, so to speak, in terms of going to the next place, but it's like, even if you don't know what's going to happen, you kind of know, like, that's not going to be revealed today. You know what I mean? Like, it's way too early in the season for that kind of thing. So, like, it's just sort of, I don't know. Like, usually they do that, I feel like, in mysteries where you're more invested in what happens, or like you kind of want to hear from everybody and all that. But here it's like, I don't know. They haven't hooked me on the characters where I give a shit about this, I guess.
So what I think it is I think they misidentified which part of the mystery was interesting, because they think the mystery of who's going to get to the sanctuary is like what we're putting a bunch of time in. I couldn't give a shit. I want to know what the sanctuary's deal is. Yeah. I want to know what this Langdon guy is getting up to. What's their actual objective? Like, I'm so much more interested in that. So whenever someone's like, oh, I hope I can make it, I'm like, go watch American Idol. I don't give a fuck. Just tell me what's happening in the world, bro. I'm so much more interested in that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they kind of set us up because, like, they made almost all of the characters, if not all of the characters in the bunker, incredibly unlikable. So we don't have any, like, vested interest in, like, rooting for one of them to make it to the sanctuary. So, like, that whole conflict is, like, nothing for anyone, because you're not, like, rooting, like, oh, I hope Coco makes it. Oh, I hope Evie makes it, et cetera, et cetera, because you don't want any of these people to make it to the next one, because they all suck. Like, really, except for, like, Timmy and Emmy, I guess, but they fucking bore the hell out of me, so I don't care.
Mallory is the closest one, I think, to, like, a likable character, and even then, like, we don't spend, like, a lot of time with her, where, you know what I mean? Like, you could kind of, like, because you want to be, like, sympathetic toward her a bit, because she's sort of, like, Coco's assistant, she's getting kind of overlooked and all this stuff, you know, but then stuff happens, too, which, whatever. Because then we learn more about her, and then, you know.
Quote-unquote learn more about her. Like, stuff happens with her this episode. Also, we'll get there, but, like, they radically amp up, like, the quote-unquote character trait of each of these characters to, like, 11 for this episode. They're like, whatever we gave that one specific character as their trait that we want you to think of them, that is all they're going to do from this point on. Like, Coco becomes, like, comically evil. As, like, an influencer. Evil.
Even Danganronpa's like, well, he's not just a hall monitor. But, like, here they're just like, nah, they're exactly what we told you they were before, you know?
And Gallant's gonna be the gayest hairdresser you've ever seen. That's the only thing he's ever been and ever will be, according to this TV, or this episode of TV. And then Mallory becomes, like, this, like, ditzy, airheaded, like, not all there assistant who's, like, really bad at her job. And I'm like, she wasn't really bad at her job. The one time we saw her be an assistant, like, she brought what she thought was, like, the right move to try and get Coco's influencer, like, business off the ground. But alas. But basically, like, the TLDR, the way, like, the linear, like, speech trail of this opening shot is, it starts with Langdon talking to Timothy, who, if you will remember, shot Kathy Bates in the last scene of the last episode because he and Emily had sex and were going to be executed for it, and so he shot Kathy Bates. Apparently Langdon, like, intervened and was like, no, it's cool, you shouldn't die for that. And I'm like, well, that's not even really him intervening. That's just him being like, Venable, stop doing your weird no sex thing. That's not part of the co-op. That's just kind of his job, I think. It's not even like him like having grace or anything. And then next it cuts to, then that's like a two, that could be a saying for both Timothy and Gallant, because Gallant's like, oh, thank you for keeping me from getting killed because I killed my grandma. And he's like, oh, I don't think that people should get excommunicated for like small little hiccups. And he's like, but I definitely killed my grandma, though. And he's like, no, she died in her sleep, like winking like really hard, like, Gallant, stop being dumb. I'm giving you a freebie. Like, I'm letting you not get in trouble for killing your shitty grandma that everyone hated. Like, wink, wink, we all know she died in her sleep. It's fine.
Kicks off Gallant, like, kind of internalizing this, and in the future, like, trying to act like he is very sad about it, but clearly isn't. And, like, for the first time, I was like, all right, I'm a little gallant pilled. I think I like this guy. I'm like, okay, as he's starting to come into his own. He's like becoming his own person, having thoughts, being like, you know what? Maybe I can make change.
Also, like, gallant, like, is just like, okay, I get it. Wink, wink. She died in her sleep. But I'm like, I feel like we're really not addressing the most maybe important part of you killing your grandma, which is that you hallucinated a man in a gimp suit first.
Right. Yeah.
And then tried to give him a blowjob. And then when you tried to stab him to death, it was your grandma. Like, that feels like a little bit more concerning than the oops, I stabbed my grandma thing. Like, we can address that when it's time to address that. What? Why did you hallucinate your grandma as a man in a gimp suit that you tried to suck off? Yeah.
What were you doing to grandma, by the way, before stabbing her? Like, how did this translate?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe I kind of understand not wanting to know in a way, too, but, you know, I mean.
Also, I can understand not wanting to share that information with the person who is determining whether or not you get to live forward.
And, like,
I can maybe keep that to myself, the hallucination part, and just be like, yeah, I meant to do it. It was sick.
The other thing is, with the gimp suit guy, like, the first time that Gallant had sex with the gimp suit guy, he thought it was Langdon. And then when he's getting, like, whipped for it or whatever, Langdon comes in and he's like, Lamau, that wasn't me. But, like, Gallant clearly, like, didn't quite believe him. So there was a little bit of maybe some, like, I don't know, you could give him a little leeway of being like, oh, well, he still thinks it's him. But then when he does stab his grandma, he turns around and sees Langdon in the hallway. So he knows for certain that the person in the gimp suit could not be Langdon, which begs the question, why is no one asking who the guy in the gimp suit was?
I think only Langdon or Gallant has witnessed the gimp suit. So I think he's just deciding to keep it to himself. Now, why is he the only person who has a run in with the gimp suit, man? That's like a whole another question, you know?
Yeah, that's a whole other can of worms. But yeah, so that's Gallant's kind of deal right now. He does not address figuring out who the gimp suit guy is. And in case you're wondering, audience, it won't matter by the end of the episode, so don't worry. It won't get addressed, and it also won't matter. Then it cuts to him talking to Mallory, and he's like, hey, do you want to kill Coco? She kind of sucks ass. And then, like, Mallory's being very sweet. Like, she's just really helpless. And then it, like, cuts to a flashback where Mallory can't wipe her own ass because she just painted her nails, and she's yelling at Coco to do it. And then it cuts to him talking to Coco, and Coco's like, yeah, I fucking tried to fire Mallory like a bajillion times because she's a dog shit assistant. She sucks so bad. And I'm like, you liked Mallory a lot. You asked Mallory to come with you to the airport to, like, get her to safety so you could have her safe with you.
Instead of your John Wick driver, too, you know? Which, granted, Coco is not the best judge of character, etc., but still, like, you know, ridiculous, but...
I think it's a little fair to think at the very least that, like, maybe Coco's just trying to be, like underhanded here and just trying to be like, oh yeah, you want me, you don't want Mallory, she's useless, she's dog shit at everything, and like does still care a little bit but is like trying to be manipulative.
I get that, and my only not counter but my only thing with that is that, like, I feel like the problem is they keep playing Coco as a total moron, so unless, like, there's a big reveal where it's like, no, this is an act and actually I'm really shrewd but I don't like people to know that, you know. And it's just like, that might be a cool, like, reveal, but I wouldn't put it on this show to have that reveal.
Especially considering the literal next line is Langdon turning to her and going, you know what? It takes a certain depth to be evil. You have to have, like, complexity of character.
Yep.
You're not that.
Yeah.
Bye.
Well, I mean, like, the other thing is, like, that her acting like that and, like, other people acting, like Evie acting the way that she was acting, would make a lot more sense if Langdon had been like, I can only take 5 of you. But he straight up says, I can take all of you if I want to, or none of you. He literally verbatim says, I can literally take every single one of you if I want to. So there's no benefit to underselling the other people.
Right.
Look, these hyper-rich motherfuckers have the capitalism disease of the highest order, and they just assume everything's a competition, even if you promise them it isn't. That's my only read. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think what they're trying to go for is later a character will say, I won't spoil it in case we don't get there today, but like one of the characters will be like, when people are put under extreme duress or in extreme situations, everyone can be the most evil motherfucker.
And yeah, I'm like, yeah, we saw it in 999. Get out of here.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think I even have a note down there like, okay, I've seen this in 100 video games and 300 movies. Big whoop. But yeah, like, I think that's what they're trying to like be like, oh, it's because they're all like under the stress. They're in like an extreme life or death situation. So now they're all shitty and evil. And I'm like, well, you kind of tried to like softball that they were all really shitty already. These people don't seem like the type of people who you have to apply much pressure to in order to get them to be shitty. So maybe not the best like control group of people to be running this social experiment on. Because, like, they're probably just going to be shitty. If they're already shitty, they're just going to be more shitty, like Evie was, but alas. But yeah, Langdon's like, Coco, you're too dumb to be evil. Because she, like, tries to, like, pretend to be evil. And he's like, you're too dumb to be evil. And then it cuts to Dinah, and Langdon's like, hey, it's good to see you again. It's been a long time since I last saw you. Are you going to be fucking up my plan here? And then it will not explain what that means or, like, what their history was. Like, there's some implications, but I'll talk about them when we get there, that, like, this is a weird and dumb implication for it to have. And then she's like, no, the world exploded, so I don't benefit from, like, fucking up your plan, because I also would like to go to the new sanctuary place. And he's like, okay, that kicks ass. You can come to the new sanctuary place because you're evil. And then it cuts to Andre, who's apparently Dinah's son. It took 3 episodes for us to get that information for some reason. It wasn't like a reveal or anything, by the way. It's just like, oh, yeah, that's my mom. And it's like, oh, okay, well, that
nobody
feels
asked.
Like, yeah. Feels like something we should have learned in episode 1, because in episode 1 I'm like, who are these 2 gay guys? Are they just here because they're the most gay men in the world and that's how they earned their spot here? No, it's because Andre is Dinah's son and that is his partner, which is like information you'd want to maybe learn at the beginning, because then it makes scenes like the scene with Stu, with everyone eating Stu, a little more tense because now it's like, oh shit, his mom ate some of Stu. Like, that's a little more emotionally volatile than just some strangers that he's never met before. Whatever. That's like, it won't matter. It won't matter in 20 minutes is the problem. Yeah, it sucks. It sucks so bad. Also, Andre hates Dinah. In case anyone cares. Again, it won't matter in 20 minutes. And Langdon's like, that's cool. I'm not looking for good people. I'm looking for evil people. And now it's time for me to interview Mallory again. And Mallory's like, I feel like someone's buried inside me. What a specific and weird way to word that. I wonder if that will be relevant by the end of the episode. Then she tries to run out of the room and he grabs her arm. And when he grabs her arm, she screams at him to let her go and uses a telepathic blast to, like, send him into the wall. And then
one sec. Hold up. Liz isn't, like, doing a normal, like, fun Liz mind illustration of what's happening. It's like, oh, like, she does a wizard blast. Like,
yeah.
She yells and it throws stuff
she
all around.
She foosrodaws him.
Exactly. Yeah, she does a dragon shout that like knocks shit off the walls. Yeah.
Yeah, like Black Canary from the DC universe. She like screams at him and he goes flying. And that's somehow not the craziest thing that happens in this 5 seconds of TV. He like hits the wall and then he gets a really confused look on his face, like what the heck? And he stands up all slow and weird, like a cat who's trying to decide whether he's gonna like pounce on someone's foot. And then he, and I'm, this is not a bit, this is not like Liz doing a hyperbole, this is real. He turns into like a screamer video from 2003.
Yeah.
Do you remember Lord of the Rings where, like, I forget, Bilbo? Or whoever looks at, Yeah, and
when
like
Bilbo goes nasty mode,
it's a scary jump scare because you're absolutely not expecting it. This is like, you have 5 minutes, make that really quick out of Robert Langdon. It's like, oh, I don't know if I can. All right, here's what I got. And he's just like, I'm wearing makeup now. You know what I mean? Like, ooh, he's happy just like, Halloween.
He's like a little old and like a little pale, and he's got some cuts. It's not like he's scary. It looks like he got like roughed up.
It looks like
a
Snapchat filter. It looks really genuinely bad. It truly looks like a Snapchat filter of like, ooh, scary face Snapchat filter. And like he does it for like a split second. He just goes like, ooh. He's like, rah! He like roars at her, and she's like, okay. And then they both are like, who are you? They both say, who are you? Which is like, honestly, kind of fair for Mallory, because what the fuck was that, Michael? Like, he just was like, here's my scary face, and then like, wasn't doing it anymore. He did it for like 1 second, and then like, he's like, sorry, I lost my composure, and turned into a screamer
six
video.
Six frames of Voldemort.
Yeah, my bad. And they both are like, who are you? And then they run off dramatically in separate directions. The opening sequence plays. It's Satan time, but like parentheses real. And it's a black screen, and Langdon's doing a voiceover, and he's talking to Satan, and he's calling him daddy or whatever. And he's cutting himself up a bunch and rolling around on the ground in a pentagram drawn on the floor with a bunch of candles. And he smears his blood all over the floor, and he whines to his daddy Satan about like being owned, I guess. He's like, oh, father, I destroyed them all, but one survived. I assume talking about Mallory. And then the blood starts bubbling on the floor, which is confusing. And then
it like, turns into snakes.
Yeah, and then like it turns into snakes. Later, some other characters are going to have access to a bunch of snakes. And I'm like, well, okay, so is the implication the snakes are all Satan-generated snakes? Because where did these two people get snakes then? If this guy summoned them out of the floor.
The snakes before came back to life, even though they were being eaten or whatever, you know? So I guess they're all, like, magic snakes, but...
Yeah, everybody kind of just kind of forgot that too. No one really investigated that either. The snakes going from being cut up into pieces to being full snakes. No one really cared about that.
You know how like on the podcast we keep saying like this isn't going to matter in 20 minutes? It feels like they're saying that too, like the show. Like, just don't worry about it. Where it's like, well, what happens to snakes?
Yeah.
Not
we have to have snakes. Don't ask why. We have to have snakes. We have to have snakes here. And they're here now. It's all that matters.
Just, you know, you'll see. It won't even be a thing. You know?
Yeah, so as Langdon's rolling around on the ground, his eyes turn fully black. He puts on the contacts and goes, oh, give me Satan vision, daddy. Ooh, daddy, give me the vision. I need to see daddy. And then I guess he does. And then that's next scene.
The worst iteration of Jesus ever. God's looking at Jesus like, you were so much better than that guy. Satan really got the raw end of the deal. Satan's kid sucks real bad. Are you guys ready for 5 Halloween flashbacks in a row for some reason?
No.
Jesus Christ.
The worst
is
the first, though, I think. Well, no, they're all bad, but...
They're all pretty bad. I don't know. Okay, so, like, you guys already know. You guys, the listeners, already know Meat is a robot. She is giving exposition in the way of explaining... her like her flashbacks, her memories to Venable, and we're watching her flashbacks as she's telling them. So remember, this is a robot, b, these are fake memories given to a robot, and c, that like this is the only information she's chosen to relay to Venable.
I'm sorry, and like I thought this the first time I ever saw this season or this particular plot reveal. And I thought it again now, which is basically, you can't do this American Horror Story, like, literally. You can't do existentialism of, like, what does it mean to be human when you're not human but you think you are? It's like, that's beyond you. Like, don't do this, you know? But we're here now of Kathy Bates pontificating about her fake memories and her, like, memories that can't be real and blah, blah, blah. And it's awful.
And I'm of the opinion that this is, like... about the same tier as someone telling you about a dream they had last night that, like, wasn't super interesting. Like, this can't really have impact on much. And spoilers, it really doesn't, you know? Right. I don't think it has any impact.
Played, like, there's a reveal.
It's a big reveal that she remembers something from here, and it is relevant, which...
And it's not going to be any of the flashbacks. That's the thing, is there's going to be a bunch of flashbacks, and then there's going to be, like, one little throwaway line she'll, like, wedge in there at the end as she's talking to Venable now in regular conversation. That will have, like, a callback at the end of the episode, and that is the reveal. But all of this shit isn't a reveal at all. Like, it's nothing. Yeah. We don't learn anything relevant. All we learn is some weird fake memories that they gave the Kathy Bates robot, which we'll go over them because they're all very dumb. So
They should have given the Venable a scene where she, like, files her taxes a little bit. Like, a scene where, like, Langdon, like, talks about a dream he had where his current travel agent was retiring. Something like that is the most boring shit. Like, fuck it. If we're just going to waste everyone's fucking time, why not?
We get three flashbacks for her, and they all take place on Halloween because this show fucking can't have a season that doesn't have a Halloween episode. So they're like, give the robot three fake Halloween memories. And it starts with the first one in 1962, where they have Mead dressed up as Rosie from the Jetsons, which is, like, maybe the only clever thing this show has ever done. Because they made the fucking robot have a memory where she was dressed as a robot for Halloween. Fucked up to do to a robot. All of these memories are fucked up to give a robot, just if we're being honest.
Also, it's a good Rosie the Robot costume.
Oh, yeah.
Like, she talks about how she made it herself, but, like, it is 100% instantly identifiable as Rosie the Robot from Jetsons and literally nothing else. There's nothing you could conflate this with, which... So she's going around trick-or-treating, and she goes up to one of the doors, and the lady's like, oh, are you Robbie the Robot? And, like, Child Mead is upset at this, and I'm like, no, Child Mead's right. That lady's fucking stupid. That's a ridiculous thing to say. This fake lady in this fake robot's memory is fucking stupid.
She also gives her an apple, which I never got to go trick-or-treating as a kid, but that feels like real low tier, right? Like, if you get an apple, that's bullshit, right?
That's shit they did, like, one house would do when I was a kid, and everyone has now gotten the memo that, no, that doesn't happen anymore. Like, I got a toothbrush also, once, and then...
Also, it's a thing where, like, I grew up in the pretty cool times where parents were pretty chill about Halloween, and we would drink from the hose and all that shit. Mm-hmm. And even then, like... If somebody gave you just, like, a piece of fruit, you'd be like, I'm not eating that. Like, that's not even a little
that's not
sealed.
Wrapped.
There's no universe where that's safe. Yeah,
and
And
there was, like, a razor blades and apples thing, right? Where, like, people were afraid there was going to be razor blades in them.
Yeah, okay. And, like, whether or not that was true, just, like, why risk it for a fucking apple? You know, like, why put your life on the line for that shit?
I think, like, the myth-busted part of it or whatever is that, like, the only case of that has ever happened is when, like, a family member tried to poison
dad.
A kid, but it's never been, like, a random Halloween thing that's, like,
It's like an urban legend.
Right.
No one will ever put drugs in your kids' candy because drugs are fucking expensive. And if you buy drugs, it's because you want them.
Also,
you're not going to give them the kids.
The teachers don't want to make your kids gay while we're doing all this, okay? You can talk to the teachers. We talk to our kids' teachers a lot. Everyone does. This is so ridiculous.
Anyway, sorry. True. Oh, so she just has a moment of, I hate apples. This is core to my character, which does not make sense.
You're a robot. I would hope so.
Yeah, I guess. So then 6 years later, she's on her first date at a movie theater seeing a horror movie. She found out that she loves being scared, but hated a guy grabbing at her.
Grabbing
the movie
her boob,
theaters,
yeah.
I guess.
She was seeing Rosemary's Baby, which is such a strange, specific thing to make her watch. Like, Rosemary's Baby wasn't, like, general... it is general admittance, but, like, it wasn't, like, the everyman's horror movie. It was kind of, like, a little bit out there for what it was.
It's a little bit of a thinker too, right?
Yeah.
A little comparatively a bit more of a thinker, thinking man's lore.
Yeah, it was a little more, I don't know what the word that I'd be looking for is, like a little more extreme than other horror movies, I guess.
Yeah, it's very bleak, which is like a rough kind of thing in horror, because sometimes it's like, but it's like, it's a very like, you don't feel like good, like after like, you know, Friday the 13th or something, after you watch, you know, that you're like, oh my God, I feel like a,
they don't like
terrible.
Dream Warriors, Rosemary's Baby. They don't like think of like a cool football man and become a man and tackle the baby.
Right, yeah.
No, it's more like, it's along the lines of like watching like say Friday the 13th, which is like a very good schlocky like slasher, like good fun horror movie, versus like a Midsommar or a Hereditary or God forbid a Skinamarink or something. Like it's a different type of movie. So just a weird thing to make this robot. Yeah, no, I'm in Skinamarink. And so in this fake memory, she not only is watching Rosemary's Baby, but also getting her boob grabbed, and she hates it. Fucked up to give the robot a memory of her getting her boob grabbed and her not liking it. Like, what a strange little detail to give to the robot.
Hey, you know it's an even stranger detail to give to the robot? This next one.
I remember
my first kill.
Halloween 1998, I remember my first kill. And then this is the most insane throwaway line, I think, of I was an agent of Mossad, which is like...
I'm sorry. What? Say again?
What the fuck did you just say to me?
Very cool fake robot memory. You're my best friend.
Like, what a bizarrely specific government agency to invoke. It's just weird as hell. But yeah, they have a whole fight sequence, which is like... not good. I don't think they realize that like somebody who is competent at doing like enforcement or spy work or any, even just like it combat, like you are trying to kill people. You don't try and get in a barroom brawl with them on like equal footing. You kill them. you just kill them, right?
Yeah, you do all that fun stuff, right? But this is just like, this is like an Indiana Jones style fight where it's just like, fuck it, I'm grabbing this toaster, I'm gonna back in bed with it. It's insane. But
yeah. And like, in case you're wondering what the setting is, because we did say it was Halloween, and you're thinking, oh, Agent of Mossad, that probably has like an interesting setting, right? No, it's some dude's house in Maryland that she insists is a terrorist. And she somehow is in his house in his kitchen, and they're just kind of like fighting. It like, there's like a lot of weird implication that like she's doing like a Mr. and Mrs. Smith situation with him based on where she is in the house and how she's dressed. It's bizarre. It's so bizarre.
There's no like better explanation why she's just, her and this guy are just beating the shit out of each other and trying to beat each other to death, but like,
and what did this guy do to piss off Israel?
Like, yeah. It's like, just in Maryland.
The agent of Mossad is like a specific thing, you know?
It's like a place,
you know, it's like a thing.
They don't have time to get into that, so, you know.
They could have just been, like, CIA, and then it'd be like, okay, you were in Maryland, because, like, the CIA does shit in Maryland, as opposed to, like, Mossad, where you're just, like, in Maryland?
In Maryland, on Halloween, and, like, they get the fuck into it, and she eventually chokes him to death, and he dies, and then she must have been a dog shit secret agent, because... some kids ring the doorbell, and she does not even hesitate. It's not her fucking house, first of all. She does not even hesitate, goes straight to the door and answers it, covered in blood, and the trick-or-treaters are like, whoa, sick costume. And she's like, thanks, kids. And I'm like, why did you program this into the fake robot's memories? That she's also a dog dogshit secret agent. What is this?
I hate that I have the real memory of part of this. I have gotten bloodied in a fight on Halloween and then had people be like, whoa, cool costume, being like, huh? And then looking down and seeing my arm covered in blood. So, like, that's really upsetting that they used that as, like, a bit. I fucking hate that.
They're like, this is good. This is a good bit. Yeah. It, again, fake memory for a robot, by the way.
Why?
Yeah, and so then it cuts to them actually sitting in front of the fireplace that Venable loves so much. And like Mead kind of like sadly relaying all this information, and then like she kind of just tacks on randomly at the end, and she's like, and those are all my memories, and then there's one memory of a young boy with soft blonde hair, but I can't remember that part, so it must be important, and I'm so sad I can't remember any of these things, and this is all fake memories. I'm so sad about being a robot. And Venable's like, well, you do have family, because she's like, I don't have any family or anything, and she's like, well, you do have family with me. We're family. It's just me and my weird agent of Mossad robot, Kathy Bates.
just who's two a peas cannibal, in a pod. Kind of.
Or like, yeah, who's a cannibal, kind of.
Without judgment, yeah.
And then Venable's like, okay, so, like, you came from the co-op. You're not my robot. So, like, do you remember Langdon or the co-op at all? And Mead says no. And Venable's like, well, Langdon already told me that I'm not going to the sanctuary, so I don't really give a shit. And Mead's like, we should just kill everybody and steal Langdon's computer so we can go to the sanctuary ourselves. And I'm like, you're now the second group of people to come up with this same plan, and I have the same question for you that I had for the last people, which is, why do you think the co-op is going to let you in to the sanctuary after you have killed and stolen from the guy they sent to your facility? Why do you think that they will let you in, or that they will be cool and chill about you stealing his shit?
It was based.
Yeah.
It was based how you killed our top guy. We think it's sick. Get in here. Yeah, like the plan would have to be, okay, then we have to kill everyone at the sanctuary too, which is like,
which
crazy. That's crazy behavior.
Allegedly, specifically, it guards against that too, you know, because that's the whole problem, is the feral cannibals and the canker pus monsters. I hope you haven't forgotten the canker pus monsters will, like, actually, you know, kind of overrun this current one, but you can't overrun the sanctuary, the real sanctuary. So, but, you know, maybe you've got a plan to do that. I don't know. Who knows?
We just want to overthrow Langdon. Everybody wants to be mean to Langdon, which, like, he's not really done anything, like, rude to anybody. He's blue-balling people, but, like, he's not done anything, like, cruel to anybody so far. Everyone's just, they just want to not do the rules that he said. They're like, no, we're going to do different rules. He literally is like, I can bring whoever I want, all of you or none of you, show me what you got so I can decide if you should come to the new place. And half of them heard Hunger Games. I need to eliminate as many other people as possible in order to secure my place at the new sanctuary. Yeah. And then the other half was like, we should kill Michael Langdon and steal his MacBook and then find our own way to the sanctuary.
You know, now that you say that too, I feel like you should automatically lose if you try to kill somebody, because it's clearly like you don't have the listening skills to survive in the apocalypse, right? What? No, remember I said? Like, get out of here.
Not to get too philosophical with it, but, like, the idea of universality is, like, pretty open and shut here, of just, like, okay, so if everybody here will just kill somebody if they become an inconvenience, how long does this hold up, you think?
Yeah.
That's not really a way to found a society. Like, there's a reason humans, as on the whole, are like, there's one thing we agree that's, like, pretty bad, and it's killing someone else. And it's because if everybody did it, we wouldn't be around very long.
Especially, like, in this, like, whole, like, oh, humanity's tinkering on the abyss. And it's like, well, then the number of people you have has to stay as high as it can, so you can't bring murderers. Like, it's crazy. Because Langdon's even, like, at one point, point, I think he's just like, everybody's got darkness to him, and I like to explore that shit, you know? So that's good. But it's like, no, you wouldn't want people to kill people, because that's the whole thing, right? But I don't know. Whatever.
No, we think it's cool. We love doing social experiments like we're a YouTube channel, while we're also trying to keep humanity alive.
Fucking Mr. Beast is like doing the interview.
Yeah.
Five people.
I summoned a compound full of snakes. Yeah, keep it up, man.
Thanks, man. We all have been looking forward to this one.
I tied up an agent from the co-op.
Yeah. This robot.
Say what you will about Mr. Beast. Insanely good intros. That man knows how to make the funniest 3 seconds in the universe.
Just like Michael Langdon, but alas.
Yeah.
I know that everybody has been just like gnawing at the back of their minds. We want to see outside. What's it like outside? Also, I want to revisit something because I had a Jimmy Neutron brain blast moment the other day when I was thinking about our previous episodes. In episode one, they get a carrier pigeon that warns them that the other outposts have been overrun and that they will be sending someone from the co-op to like help out. Like, that was like a thing that Venable said, is that they had a breach and then it showed the carrier pigeon and the information they were given. And then 18 months passes, and then Michael Langdon shows up, and then they start losing their shit. Like, who is this guy? How did this happen? What's going on? And I'm like, you guys got a carrier pigeon 18 months ago that told you what was going to happen. What do you mean? What are you talking about? I just remembered that the other day while I was thinking about it. But yeah, speaking of the outside.
Why do they have a carrier pigeon in a world of email, though, anyway?
Good question.
Like, if email still works.
Anyway. It was in case Google asked for more money for their Gmail account because it was getting too full and they were getting too many emails.
Case AWS.
Yeah, I'll be real. Them letting Langdon have a laptop is like such a problem logistically.
Right?
Like, that's... Yeah. Because like, as soon as that's on the table, then it's kind of like the Venable is pretty rightly like... You had fucking computers? Like, you didn't give me fucking 5G? What's wrong with you?
We don't even have important power here. Yeah. We don't even have electricity here. We have to use all these fuck-ass candles all the time.
I know. Because now it's literally just stealing from Fallout, where it's like, no, these are experiments. We're fucking with the people in society. You know, now it's, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, well, we love fucking with people.
It's time to check out. It's time to check out the outsides, because enough of this bunker horse piss. It's time to talk about the character we care about the most. There's no universe you're going to guess who the main character of the next scene is.
I forgot all about
spoiler,
him.
Like, it's someone who has been in the show, but you rightfully should have written him off as fucking dead. So, we're outside. It's generically very foggy and dusty, and it's, you know, it's post-nuclear outside or whatever. A guy finds a bunch, like a kind of a mutant cannibal-looking guy, finds a bunch of dead people lying on the road, kills one a little further and grabs his stuff. There's another dude, like, working a, like a rotisserie. Like, he's like roasting a, like a thing over a spit, kind of chilling out, you know, having a nice camp stuff.
You know, those like Halloween fake limbs that are ripped off. It's like he's roasting a leg, but it looks like a little bit better than that, but only a little.
That's being pretty generous. Yeah. Saying it looks better than that's being a little generous, I think.
All right. Well, it looks like that with like one extra thing of gore that I think they added to it.
Yeah, they're like, isn't this scary? We're doing cannibals.
Look, cannibalism. Oh wait, we did that as an actual plot point before. Yeah. Okay, but still, cannibalism. Whoa.
These ones are worse.
They also fully undermine it by having the guy be like mad clowny about it. Yeah. Like the whole time. Cause the first guy who just like killed someone and took their stuff walks up and goes, "Hey man, is that ready?" And he goes, "Hey, whoa, it's not done yet. You gotta cook it long enough like pork or you'll get sick, cause human meat's like pork," which Incorrect, but you know what? Fuck it. Who cares?
They heard the euphemism long pork, and they're like, we're not going to look into why it's called that. We're just going to move with it and not. That means human meat's like pork. Yeah. You'll get sick if you don't cook it. Just like pork, and not because you're eating human meat off of a spit that's made of like a empty tire or anything in a nuclear fallout.
Also, the guy says he was on Top Chef.
And yeah, a finalist.
If so, he's terrible. He has no seasoning, no spice. His rotation rate's dog ass. But regardless, a third man shows up, and wouldn't you know it, it's Brock.
Yay!
You know? Yeah, Brock! Brock. Pokemon!
You remember Brock?
No, wait.
Brock.
I love Brock.
Brock! Yeah! Brock, you mean Coco's like boyfriend or whatever, who
that's the one!
Yeah, of course! Brock! Duh, how would I not know Brock? Come on.
We were all wondering what happened to the boyfriend who got left in traffic and was just like, no, don't leave without me, no! Then she left without him.
I have a fan fiction where he lived, and thankfully now I don't need to publish it because he did. Yeah.
Now it's just canon!
Yay!
Yippee.
So, the cannibals turn to look at Brock, who Brock is like a little fucked up, but more like he got like a really bad haircut than he's like fully irradiated. He's just like got kind of like a weird balding pattern, but like he's mostly okay.
That's the thing, right? Because like all of them are like, they're like all like, ah, we're mutants or whatever, but they seem like they're like, yeah, they're like, I don't know, I can cook. You know what I mean? Like I can get stuff, so.
Yeah, I look a little weird, but otherwise I'm fine.
Also, like, so with the cannibal on the spit, like, turns to him and is just like, hey, brother, grab a leg.
come
grab a leg. Get a bit of meat. You're going to love it. And he's just like, no, I don't think I will. And notices that behind him there was a mutant trying to ambush him. And then he just, like, pulls out a horse rifle and just, like, shoots three of them very quickly. Yeah.
I don't know where he got this shotgun from. He must have, like, stolen it or wrangled it from someone. Because the last time we saw him, he was stuck in traffic in, like, downtown L.A. And I don't think there's, like, a surplus of shotguns there. So he's gotten fortunate, I guess, and has found one. And fortunately, I guess, this specific group of mutant cannibals also did not ever expect anyone to pull a gun on them. Because they all try to attack him manually. And physically, with like melee weapons, and they just get blown the fuck up.
It's fine.
And the only exchange that takes place, by the way, is when Brock first shows up, he's just like, hey, I'm looking for this lady. She allegedly, they went to a place where like rich people had like a safe bunker. And then that's when the mutants are like, buddy, if we knew where there was a bunker, we would have already killed all of them and taken the stuff.
Which is like, but we clearly don't know where there's no bunker. Like, it's like, yeah, why would you even ask that? That was a stupid fucking question, Brock.
What are you, an idiot? We would have eaten all their apples or whatever if they had apples. Them. As long as they weren't dog shit apples. If they were like Red Delicious, I'd take a shit on them.
True.
So then Brock, after killing those fellas, sees a horse-drawn carriage being pulled along and just kind of starts following it, which I guess the instinct is, rich people love horses despite their impracticality, high cost, and low speed. That's probably where they're at.
Yeah. And the thing is, the rest of this episode wouldn't make sense unless the co-op had inexplicably decided to send a whole bushel of apples. But if you really look at this specific thing happening under a microscope, that doesn't make any sense. And none of the characters who interact with this bushel of apples should be anything other than like, why did they send us a bushel of apples? Why did they randomly send us a bushel? You're telling me that they had fresh food this whole time and they could have been sending it and now they've inexplicably done it? Well, no need to look any further into that.
It's so funny because, like, I think they're trying to do a metaphor, but, like, all it ends up being is everybody sees an apple, forgets all reason, and goes, ooh, how tempting. And just, like, that's it.
Yeah. The other thing is they're so, because they love these biblical, like, allegories. They're, like, they keep saying, like, the forbidden fruit. I think even, like, Langdon says he calls something the forbidden fruit earlier in the episode. And they're, like, the forbidden fruit, and that's the name of the fucking episode also. And I'm, like, I think it's, like, widely agreed upon that, like, the quote-unquote fruit in the Garden of Eden was not an apple.
That's like one of those like trivia things where it's like it's actually I don't think it's ever explicitly named, but for some reason they think it's a pomegranate.
Pomegranate is I think the most commonly accepted one, but it's not apple. Apple's like what they drew for kids because kids don't know what a fucking pomegranate is. But they're like, no, it's apples. We've decided in the big 2019 or 2020, whenever this came out, that it's apples actually. Again, and everyone will just accept this. But alas, so Brock kills the cannibals and follows the horse-drawn carriage. We will find out in a second because it arrives at the bunker and they're like, get out of the fucking carriage. And I'm like, you guys are real rude to people who are probably the co-op. It's amazing they haven't killed you yet. And there's no one in the carriage. And I'm like, how do those fucking horses know how to get here? Do the horses have a GPS system? Like, how do the horses know how to get here? Also, good thing no one tried to rob that carriage between the co-op and here. Because they would have done it. Because there's no one fucking in the the carriage. But there is a crate full of apples.
No one tried to, like, kill the horse to eat it when we're at the point where humans are eating each other? Yeah.
Yeah. Also, no, it arrived safe.
We had drones, didn't we? I mean, isn't that easier? Just drone it up? Like, what? You know,
no, we have to feed the horses to the weird monsters in the woods. Which, by the way, that's the implication, is that the things that drug the horse into the woods in the first episode are the quote-unquote mutant cannibals. And I'm like, okay, so they do know. They do know where the outpost is because they know to wait for a horse meat.
Hang on, don't forget the canker pus monsters, which is something I will never forget that fucking name.
True.
The canker pus bullshit. Anyway,
you're
I'm sorry.
You're so right.
Canker pus gang!
You are so right. and so horses deliver the apples. The people who open it are obviously like Mead and Venable and the Fist or whatever her name is.
The Fist, which I was so convinced after them not saying the name again for like 2.5 episodes, I was like, oh, fuck, did I like make up a name for a character? But later in this episode, they say they're like, hey, the Fist is missing. And I'm like, oh, I didn't hallucinate it.
Yeah, her name is The Fist, but, like, Amazon Overlay, like, just gave up on waiting for them to say her name and just Minion. Call her Minion in this episode, Minion. Which is really funny. And they're, like, looking at the apples, and Venable's like, holy fuck, apples! And as soon as it's open, she just dives right in and starts going to town on one. And I'm like, damn, not gonna, like, I don't know, have one of your underlings check it to make sure, like, this isn't a way for them to just get rid of everybody in the place or anything? You're just gonna raw dog that? They put you in charge, huh? You were in charge of keeping everybody alive? That's crazy.
Yeah.
And, like, Mead's like, I don't think you should do that! But then she does it anyway.
And the worst part is, Venable says, after taking a big bite of an apple, goes, exquisite, like it's a really good apple. And then the Fist picks one up and goes, huh, red delicious, which is ironic because although they are red, they're not delicious. They're the worst fucking apple.
They will keep saying it too. They say it like 3 times over the course of the episode of red delicious, red delicious. And I'm like, red delicious is like an apple I wouldn't like wish on my worst enemy. Like it's truly like,
It's like, I won't even eat it because I've discovered at least Honeycrisp, which is like, I know the basic bitch of delicious, of
top
good
tier.
Apples, but it is.
Oh, Honeycrisp are great. No, anyone who docks down Honeycrisp, that shit's S tier. They can fuck themselves.
Yeah, Honeycrisp is top tier.
Yeah.
Red Deliciouses are like very mealy. They're really mealy. They're really bitter. Yeah. They're like nasty, they have waxy skin. They're just garbage. They're just a garbage apple.
Do you want your apple to be a little more like wet sand? Red Delicious, you know? Yeah.
It was legitimately like, it was just, we went by the like four metrics we were weighing according to our capital like ideas. So it was just like, okay, we need it to be shelf stable for as long as possible. We need it to look really good since we have to throw out all the bruised or, you know, blemished ones at the time. And we need it to be heavy because we sell apples by the pound. So we need those bad boys to kick out as many pounds as they can. So they ended up with a bright red, huge, waxy, super stable, fucking tasteless mealy piece of shit. But it weighs a lot, so like, that's pretty cool. Yeah, if you've only if you think you don't like apples and you've only had Red Delicious and Granny Smith, I implore you, try more apples.
Yeah, try at least like an Opal apple or something, just not a Red Delicious. Just don't hang your hat on Red Deliciouses. Like
Honeycrisp, yeah,
crack into
like
a Gala, yeah, enjoy a Pink Gala's Lady, have a Cosmic Crisp, you know, maybe try a Rocket. Those are like super funny little tiny apples. Love those guys.
That's what I was thinking of. Yeah, the Rockets. Yeah,
just not a Red Delicious. Yeah. And for what it's worth, I don't actually think that the physical apples in the show are Red Deliciouses. They don't look right, because Red Deliciouses are kind of shaped like a human tooth, if that makes any sense. They're like weirdly long and kind of like not particularly round.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, yeah, these are very round apples, which leads me to believe they're not actually Red Deliciouses, which is crazy, because they'll have the Fist go into, like, a rant about apples, because apparently she ran, like, a wellness blog before all this transpired.
Yeah, she quotes what was a, like, short-term health scare talking point, which was immediately like, no, that's stupid, why would we do that? I'm just being like, yeah, they sprayed all, they inject poisons in these things to like keep them looking fresh for longer, and it's like, oh brother.
Thank you, the Fist.
Is that a fake memory too? Am I stupid? No, is the Fist the robot?
They don't cover it with Fist, I don't think, ever, if she's like a robot or not. And I guess we can
And she dies.
Is,
she just she fucking dies in like 5 seconds. And so it's, I think, safe to assume she's not a robot. She just got bit by the snake and liked it in that one episode.
Yeah, they never,
she's just built different.
Right. Like why Lang doesn't interview her or anything.
That was my big confusion, is she did get bit by that snake.
No, she liked it.
Has to be a robot.
She got bit. She's real tall. If you're real tall, you're immune to being bit by snakes. Everyone knows this. This is like a known quantifiable fact. Don't Google it, but it is. You have to just believe me.
Yeah.
Good.
I asked Gronk.
Actually, I think Gronk wrote the episode somehow, even though.
Yeah. So, it's time for Mallory time. Mallory's like, she's like thinking real hard about Langdon time or whatever.
Yeah,
and she's just
she's
staring
like
at a fireplace thinking about how she summoned a big ass fireball at one point.
Yeah, she's having a flashback. But one last thing about the last scene though, is in case you guys have forgotten, in the 30 minutes that this television show has been going on, Meade's like, oh hey, sick, we have a bunch of apples. And we do want to kill everybody. We established that the last time you saw us on screen.
Right, yeah.
What if we poisoned all the apples? And they're like, sick, let's throw a Halloween party and poison all the apples. And then they don't want the Fist to hear this part of the plan, so they send the Fist outside to go take care of / destroy the horses. And while she's out there, she gets like turbo stabbed by Brock, and Brock uses her key card to get inside. So those are the two things that are established, is we are throwing a Halloween party to poison the apples, and Brock has killed the Fist.
Why not just give them? Why not just do it now? Why do we have to wait for the Halloween veneer of it?
Well, because we need everyone to eat the apples at the same time, or else they'll die of poison too fast.
No,
which
food.
Is how like no poisons work. That's like never been the case.
Yeah, okay, now
so,
it's
yeah,
now
so
it's Mallory time.
Yeah, and so staring at a fireplace, having a think, another one of the maid staff walks up and goes, hey, we gotta have a meeting. They go to the meeting, and Venable says, hey, we're gonna throw a big Halloween party. because we need there to be a Halloween episode. Like,
yeah,
it's wild that it's a Halloween party too. Like, I know bobbing for apples is like thematically allegedly a Halloween thing. I think my biggest problem with this too is if you don't want people to eat the apples early, bobbing for apples feels like the literal worst choice you can make, because it is, you bite into the act, like that's the act of, they have every, sorry, I'm getting a little ahead of us, but they have everybody bob for apples wrong and just like grab the stem gingerly with their teeth, and it makes me so mad.
Yeah. Also, like, why can't you just give them, if the concern is that nobody's going to eat their apple at the same time, why not just, like, give everybody an apple at the end of the party and be like, this is your end of the party surprise. Everybody gets an apple. And then everyone goes apeshit for the apples and they all eat it. Like, why not just do that?
Here's what's wrong with all of this, right? If you could, like, force them not to have sex or follow your rules somehow because you had more people and guns or maybe or something, right? Like, why do you need a plot at all? Just fucking kill everybody.
Yeah, you already were shooting people. You've already shot, like, two people. Just keep shooting people.
You don't need a plot. Just do that. Like, if you do need a plot, then all of these people could be like, wait a goddamn minute, I don't feel like following any of these rules. There's three of them, you know? Why don't we just take over? Now you guys can have sex or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, none of this, like, works exactly. Because now it's like,
Venable's,
you know,
a theater kid.
Why do you need to be sneaky? Yeah, anyway.
Venable loves to do a scheme or a plot.
I guess so, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she's like, you guys have to dress up, and it's mandatory, and we have to do a Halloween party. And Gallant, Mallory, and Coco, it cuts to them getting ready for the party, kind of. And Coco's like, I think this Halloween party's where they're going to announce who goes to the sanctuary. And Gallant's like, well, I think the people who are going to go to the sanctuary probably already know. And like that, Coco's like, what do you mean by that? What do you know? And then Mallory's like, oh, was your meeting with Langdon weird too? And then Gallant, it's very clear that Gallant was like, oh, I fucked him. But Mallory's like, I learned pyrokinesis. and then Gallant's like,
what I meant by weird? Yeah, what were you talking about?
Gallant's like, I think we're talking about two different things. And I'm like, you are definitely talking about two different things for sure.
He's talking about two different things. Like, oh, he didn't become like a demon? And like,
did yours get weird? It got a little freaky, you could say. Like, oh, like, he turned into a demon and you shot a fireball at him? Like, no, I blew him. What are you talking about?
Yeah, it's not just wiener. What the fuck are you talking about? Fireball.
I was just getting down to business practical style. You're shooting Hadoukens, miss?
He was a demon in the sack, if you know what I mean.
Mallory's like, oh, by the way, I think I have pyrokinesis. I'm the Dark Phoenix now. And I'm like, what an airball reference. Ooh. No one who watches this show is going to know what the fuck that means.
That's not really the defining trait of Dark Phoenix, but that's neither here nor there.
Pyrokinesis?
It's really more about how psychic she is. That's like a whole thing.
No, she does pyrokinesis.
Bonded to a universal constant. It's fine. Whatever. It's the same.
And Gallant and Coco are like...
The thing for me is, it's weird to make a Dark Phoenix reference without understanding Dark Phoenix. That is like more confusing to me. Like, where did you learn that from?
Was there a movie at the time maybe that was out and like popular and they're like, oh yeah, I think Dark Phoenix is
that
in this
might
one.
Have
and
been.
They just be like, yeah.
2019 is when Dark Phoenix came out. I don't remember when.
I think this is 20.
Did they predict Dark Phoenix?
No, they absolutely
didn't. No, it's 2020. It was a year after. It was literally a year after Dark Phoenix came out, so.
Great.
Yeah, that is it.
Great. Okay, well, asked and answered.
Oh, wait, no. It's set in 2020. It premiered in 2018, but it was set in 2020, which means they did strangely predict the Dark Phoenix movie.
I think Fox was involved with X-Men, and it's also involved with FX, so they probably knew it was in production.
A little teaser, a little Easter egg. She doesn't explain who the Dark Phoenix is. She just says, I'm like the Dark Phoenix. For anybody who has never seen the Dark Phoenix, which would be nobody at this point because the movie hasn't come out, that's nothing for anybody. That means nothing to anyone.
It would only be people who have read the comics, right. And that is it. Because Dark Phoenix was, like, in the 80s. Yeah. But, like, that's still, like, that's such a small subset. And, again, that would mean Mallory read the comics and, like, forgot most of it, I guess.
Right.
Yeah. She just remembered that it was, like, a Phoenix-related thing, and Phoenixes are, like, fire, I think.
She could do fireballs, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, Galen and Coco then do the most shithead thing possible, which is like, oh, you can shoot fireballs, huh? Show me a fireball right now. Like, this has to be a thing where you immediately are like, was it set off by like a very, because she just mentioned it happened during the Langdon thing, so you have to be like, did he like do something fucking crazy to you that made you think you did a fireball or something? And instead, they just, like, bully her. They just hit her with the carry special. They're like, you can't do it. You can't do shit. Fuck off.
Well, Coco in particular is, like, so comedically and, like, cartoonishly, like, mean to her in this scene. She's like, you fucking suck. You're a waste. You're a fucking loser. Get out of here, loser. Get out of here. Can't even do a fireball.
Nothing about you special. Nobody likes you. Yeah.
And I'm like, where is this coming from? Like, you're not even trying to impress Langdon at this point. You're just being an asshole. Like, Coco has never been this, like, mean before. She's just stupid. She's never mean. It's very strange. And Galant's just like, oh, I'm just the comic relief gay character that's just the hairdresser. I'm only here to do a crazy hairstyle on Coco, and that's all my character is. Yeah, it's so strange. There's still half an episode left, and I promise you, the stuff that happens from this point, you can probably like guess some of the stuff, but I promise there is at least 66% of the rest of the episode that you could not have predicted if I told you ahead of time.
Not because it's a good surprise, mind you. You know what I mean? It's like one of those things, like, you couldn't predict it because now there's a pillow monster. And it's like, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. And it's like, it's one of those things. You
Abraham Lincoln, like, is here now.
Yeah, right? Like, one of those, like, why would they do that? And you're like, yeah, I know. That's why. Yeah.
My response to the events were, and this is all typed in lowercase, and let me tell you, it was lowercase in spirit as well, of, man, are they really just, and then explaining what happened, because it's like so, if you already are watching ahead, you know why I'm so upset. And if not, I hope to see you next time so you can hear why. Because they pull some real horse shit next time. Oh, my
God.
I'll
tell you, it's when I stopped watching it on TV. Like, you know what I mean?
Oh, no shit.
Yeah, I was like, I'm done with this season. I can't do it.
That's so funny. That's so funny.
I'll be real, if I wasn't on this podcast, yeah, man, same. Because it really was the most like, well, then what did we do the last fucking 3 hours for?
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
It's rough.
Well, next time, everybody, hope you have a great afternoon tonight. Take it easy.
Bye.